I took office at a time when many around the world had come to view America with skepticism and distrust. A part of this was due to misperceptions and misinformation about my country. Part of this was due to opposition to specific policies and a belief that on certain critical issues, America had acted unilaterally without regard for the interests of others. And this has fed an almost reflexive anti-Americanism. Now, like all of you, my responsibility is to act in the interests of my nation and my people. And I will never apologize for defending those interests. But it is my deeply held belief that in the year 2009, more than at any point in human history, the interests of nations and peoples are shared. So for those who question the character and cause of my nation, I ask you to look at the concrete actions we have taken in just 9 months. On my first day in office, I prohibited, without exception or equivocation, the use of torture by the United States of America. I ordered the prison at Guantanamo Bay closed, and we are doing the hard work of forging a framework to combat extremism within the rule of law. Every nation must know America will live its values, and we will lead by example. Those who used to chastise America for acting alone in the world cannot now stand by and wait for America to solve the world's problems alone. We have sought, in word and deed, a new era of engagement with the world. And now is the time for all of us to take our share of responsibility for a global response to global challenges. The United States stands ready to begin a new chapter of international cooperation, one that recognizes the rights and responsibilities of all nations. And so, with confidence in our cause and with a commitment to our values, we call on all nations to join us in building the future that our people so richly deserve. Thank you very much, everyone.
I stand here to reaffirm the United Nations Charter, not to tear it up. I call on every nation to support its universal principles. As never before, the fate of every country rested on the actions of all. And as the fear of the unthinkable took hold, we reached a clear choice: to fail separately or to succeed together. If the forest nations are going to slow and stop deforestation, then I know that the richer countries must contribute financially. And that's why I proposed a new approach to financing our action against climate change. It will provide substantially increased additional and predictable flows. They will be flows of capital both from the public and private sector. I believe that this is too important an agreement for the global economy and for the future of every nation represented here, simply to leave it to chance. So I urge my fellow leaders to commit themselves to backing up our official negotiators by going to Copenhagen too. It will take more than 100 years to deliver on some of our Millennium Development Goals. And 100 years is too long for the peoples of our countries to wait for the justice that has been promised. I believe that if we take the right decisions and work together, we are in the business of creating, for the first time in human history, a truly global society. It is a name to be wished for and an aim to be fought for by all of us. Thank you very much.
I'm Ed Pilkington. I'm at the UN building in New York, where it's been a big day today, the start of the General Assembly, in front of 192 member nations, each of whom get their chance to hold the international stage. This year is especially big, partly because of the range of huge issues facing the international community, from climate change to global economic meltdown, and partly because it was Barack Obama's first outing in front of the combined representatives of the world. As expected, Obama took head-on the poor reputation America has acquired in the eyes of much of the world. He talked about skepticism and distrust with which the US has been viewed, and the anti-Americanism that has been fueled as a result. He also talked in conciliatory terms to America's critics. He emphasized what he'd done since he's taken office, abolishing the use of torture, ordering the closure of Guantanamo, withdrawing troops from Iraq. But he also had tough words for Iran and North Korea, who he said would be held accountable if they did not meet their international obligations over the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Gordon Brown, flush from receiving a World Statesman of the Year award on Tuesday night for his work on behalf of the developing world, followed Obama's lead in stressing the need for growing global cooperation. He called it the search for a first in human history, a truly global society. Like Obama, he warned Iran and North Korea that further sanctions were in the offing if they continued to thumb their noses at nuclear inspectors. On climate change, there was another warning. He said that if the world failed to reach a deal in the upcoming Copenhagen summit on reducing global warming emissions, there would be no second chances. A pretty stark assessment. On Africa and the developing world, he used his turn in the limelight to repeat his appeal for a fairer deal for poor countries. The person who most caught the attention of the General Assembly and set it alight, perhaps for all the wrong reasons, was the Libyan leader, Colonel Gaddafi. Like all the other leaders, he was allotted 15 minutes, but he took 1 hour, 40 minutes to set out his stall. It was quite a performance. He insulted pretty much everyone in the room. He told the hundreds of delegates sitting in front of him that they were like orators at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park. They made their little speeches and then disappeared without achieving anything. He then accused the permanent members of the Security Council, which include Britain and the US, of being a terrorist body not that different to Al-Qaeda. He called on George Bush and Tony Blair to be put on trial for the Iraq War. And then he even asked out loud, who killed JFK?
Jack Ruby, an Israeli, killed Lee Harvey, who killed Kennedy. Why did this Israeli kill the killer of Kennedy? Then the killer of Jack Ruby, the killer of Kennedy, died ambiguously and mysteriously. We don't know before the trial. We have to open the files. The whole world should be. We know when we read it that Kennedy wanted to investigate the files of the nuclear reactor of the Israeli demand, and then it is to do with the Security Council. It is to do with the peace and security of the world, and then we should open this file. Why?
In any other situation, this is, after all, New York. It would have been a good slapstick show. But it was awkward for two reasons. First, outside the UN building, hundreds of protesters, including the families of Lockerbie victims, held a rally against him. And it was awkward, too, for Barack Obama, who, making his maiden speech to the UN General Assembly, just before Gaddafi, had wanted to carry a message of international leaders coming together to confront the many problems facing the world. Gaddafi's anti-Western rant wasn't exactly good advertising for that.